God bless the one who has no clutter. We all have clutter. And even people who don't have much have clutter. One guy that we helped out that I picked up because he was standing outside of the jail, and when we went to pick up his stuff, man, he had clutter. Kept coming out of that room with stuff and stuff and stuff. It was clutter. Made my clutter look good, which is not an easy thing to do, you know. But we do have that, and the thing about our clutter is that, you know, one person's trash is another person's treasure. One person's clutter is another person. Leave it alone. I know just where it is. And there's a lot of our clutter that we don't use. As I was thinking about this, I thought, man, you know, I've got some brand new tools that have never been out of the box. But they were a good deal. It's Harbor Freight's fault. Get these coupons. Get this good deal. Then on top of that, I've got Rachel living in Rapid, and she'll go to Harbor Freight. And they think her name is Roger Day, you know, because she's been using the card. But, you know, and so I've got these things that I know that I need. Like I've got an electric chainsaw sharpener. And I mean, there's nothing nicer than a sharp chainsaw blade. But you got to take it off to use it and sharpen it. So it's there, though, and it's still in the box, so it's easy to find. And you know, I've got a few things that are just in the box. And I don't want to put them on the garage sale, so someday I'll get to use them. And even organized clutter is still clutter. You know, we're talking about things now, and we, boy, oh boy, you know. I mean, America is a place of things. The amount of money that is made in storage units. You know, I mean, every time I go to the jail, it dead ends at storage units up and down, and then I take a left to go to the jail. But right there at that stoplight, always somebody pulling in and getting into their storage unit. I mean, I have sometimes a lot of clutter in my closet because I don't want to walk out to the garage to get my tools. And then sometimes I move all my tools back out there, and sure enough, I need something. So I'm trying to figure out how to have just a few right there that'll be the handiest. But which ones do you have there? You know. But you can't have them all there. Anyway, okay. So clutter is obvious. Obvious. And so is spiritual clutter. You know, I've been saved now. Oh, I got to share this. Yesterday, I was up in Millbank at the Abbey in the Hills, which used to be the Blue Cloud Abbey. Anyway, it was for a glow meeting to lead worship anyway. So there's this lady there, and I look at her name and I think, I know that name. And so after a while, I figured, how come I knew that name? Or at least I thought I knew that name. And I walked up and I said, did you used to work for AAA of South Dakota? Yes, she did. I said, I got a story for you. And then I went and I told her that in 1981, we were going out to Oregon to sing. And I stopped to get my AAA insurance from this lady. And she asked what I was doing. I said, I was going out to sing. She asked me if I ever sang gospel music. I said, not so much, only when my mom has me sing at church, but I'm going to make other music. And she gave me a card, and on it she said, God bless you. I still got that card. And she just rejoiced in that. She said, well, I got saved in 1974, so I was on fire. I told everybody about Jesus. And I think she's still probably at that and for that. And as I was at these meetings, you know, a glow was a huge movement, and then it sort of shrunk a little bit, but there's the folks that are still at it, and it's still growing. There's still good things going. And the interesting thing is, it was one of those things that was huge in America, and it spread around the world, and around the world it's still rolling. But But here, the numbers have dwindled, and you know, bless their hearts. I mean, a good number of these ladies are my age. And I'm young, of course, I think. But, you know, but the music starts, and they get out their tambourines, they get out their banners, they get out their things, and they're at it. And they, you know, they like make the kids in a mosh pit envious. Because they are still on fire for it, and yet so many times their testimony was as back when it was big. And I told them, I said, you know what, you're still big. If one of you are praising the Lord, you're still big. And they were wonderful, but you know, they can get cluttered with those, with what they see, you know. I mean, hey, this is a pretty big crowd we got here today, you know, for what has been in the past. Sometimes, you know, we've had only four people here sometimes. We got more people, but you know what? It doesn't matter how many people, unless we get our minds cluttered with the thinking that, well, that somehow more than two gathered in his name is what really works. I've been in big meetings. I've been in little meetings. I walked in to that meeting on Friday night, and there was such a weighty presence of God. You know what I mean by the weighty presence of God? It was like I kept having to sit down. I kept having to kneel down. I kept finding steps to just, not, I didn't have anything to pray. Just the presence of God was wonderful. And that was before the worship started. So by the time the worship was over, I was incoherent. But God is good. You know, he is so wonderful. And we can't lose track of that fact. Because that's what matters, is how wonderful God is. You know, we talked last week about the greatest danger is slowing down. Slowing down. We can slow down in a lot of things, but we do not want to slow down in our pursuit of God. The gal who is the head of it that invited me up, wanted me to come up and do the worship, you know, she was talking. We weren't visiting for very long while I was setting stuff up, and she said, so are you going to retire pretty soon, or what are you thinking? I said, I retired when I was 30. That's when I got saved. I quit working. It's all joy. I said, I don't know exactly how you would do that, you know. I mean, if y'all came to me one day and said, we'd just soon you weren't our pastor anymore, I'd say, okay, you know, I'll figure something out. That's all right. But I don't think I could quit worshiping God, nor could I quit talking about Jesus. And since that's what I do, I guess that I'm not retiring. I think that there are, you know, obviously there are things that we slow down in, and I think it's just wonderful. But you know, most of the people that are retired, they're pretty busy. You know, they're doing something. I see a guy by the name of David Holmes. Most of you know that name, David. He and his wife they're retired, and they got a motorhome, and now they went to some place in Florida, and they are camp helpers. So, you know, there's always something going on, but in all of the things that are going on, we cannot slow down in our seeking of the Lord. Because if we slow down, guess what? He doesn't slow down. And it's not that he's leaving us behind, it's that we're falling behind. And when Vicki and I used to jog, I used to go out and I would jog before I jogged with her, so then I could come back and I could jog with her. And then when I would be jogging with her, I'd be running ahead and I'd be coming back. And it was just because I wanted to run faster. Now that wouldn't be a problem. I don't need to run faster. I just need to be able to keep running. But, you know, we would do that, but I would always come back. I never left her. I never left her behind. I would always come back. You know, God won't just leave us. But even though he won't just leave us, we can leave him. We can leave him. Don't think for a minute that you can't leave him. Now, that It's pretty hard to quit at least praying. It's pretty hard once we've known the Lord. But you got to know that there are people who slow down and quit. There are people who stepped away from God. There are people who decided that they don't love God anymore. I'm telling you what, if a person does not love God, they can miss God. Now, I don't know the final analysis of everything, okay? But I do know that when people quit loving God, they quit having life. Especially when you've known God and known life. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that if we quit loving Him after we started loving Him, life's going to leave us. We're going to miss a lot of stuff. And hopefully what that will be, you know, Paul said, turn him over to the devil so the devil can have his way with him, so his soul might be saved in the end. As much as we'd like to think that once saved, always saved, that would be just great. At the Abbey, I'm telling you something. I had a little problem walking around the Abbey. They had a brand new shrine built out in the woods for people to contemplate. And they weren't contemplating Jesus. Bring it to Mother. I said, Lord, I need to get out of here. I'm going to sin. This really bothers me, you know. But it wouldn't be good to wreck that, you know. So, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of messed up stuff. How do they get so messed up? Well, I think they get messed. You can get messed up by clutter. Christian clutter. See, we can. People go all over the world to conferences and this and that and the other thing. They read their Bibles. They got all their notes. They got all that stuff, you know. I got journals that are more than 30 years old, 35 years old. I've got journals that I've written, and I go back and I read them, and I think some of it hasn't come to pass yet that the Lord was talking to me about. Some of it that He talked to me about, obviously, if it was something He wanted me to do, I did immediately, but it's still useful. Some of it I remember writing down. Some of it I don't remember writing down. It's useful, but if you don't put it to use, it's clutter. It's just clutter. People were giving testimonies. Some people would give testimonies yesterday. The thing that I noticed that cluttered their testimony was, you know, a little bit like last week we said that when the Jurassic Park, when the dinosaur was chasing them, mostly they had the vision, the focus on the dinosaur. And once in a while, a glimpse of the gate. And oftentimes, people's lives are cluttered because all they think about is the dinosaur. The things that happened. The things behind. And so, one lady was giving her testimony, and as she was giving her testimony, more of her testimony was about the things that were still wrong than what had just happened, that God had done. And I thought, you know, that's too bad. But that lady came up to me later, and I was sitting there playing the piano because they had some worship going on, and I was just sitting there tinkering along. And she began to tell me her story, and I'm thinking, okay. But she ultimately said, you know what? I've been feeling better ever since people prayed for me. And you know what? I think I'm just going to forget about all those problems. I started singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. She joined me singing it, and that was the end of that. But, you know, we can get cluttered. We can get cluttered by those things that bother us. Those things that we keep saying we have victory over, but if we have victory over them, why are they still not sounding like a testimony? Why are they still sounding just a little cluttered? If we've won, then there's joy in the testimony. Then there's victory in the testimony. There's not, well, I think it'll be okay for a little while, but it could come any time. You got to watch out for those demons behind all those rocks. Do you know what? Those demons behind those rocks are behind those rocks for a reason. Because you're dangerous when you're full of Jesus. Watch out for the enemy. Hey, I'm a bigger enemy to the enemy than the enemy is to me. Understand? See, we can get cluttered just by that little bit of a difference in the thinking. Which one do we consider the most? yesterday, not yesterday, Friday, as I was going, just starting the trip, and they didn't have all of the rocks off the road. They'd swept it, but you know, there's a few rocks on the road, and I'm driving along, and I see this guy coming in the rearview mirror, and he's smoking. And I'm trying to make a quality decision. Should I just start smoking too so he can't pass me? But he was coming, so I thought, okay. He came past me, and that was okay. But then he cut in too soon. He had no need to cut in so soon. I wanted to catch him. I wanted to visit with him. I had an opportunity because there was a flagman up ahead. I wanted to just go and say, was there any reason that you, if you're going to go flying past, just fly way past and then cut it? Can I give you some education? But that wasn't the part that was the worst part about it. As he started to cut in, I had a thought. And after I had that thought, I thought, did I say what I thought or was it just a thought? Did I control that thought or did that thought come out of my mouth? That kind of stuff should not come out. I should not call that guy a name. Now, I have decided, I have comfort from the Lord that it was just a thought, but it bothered me that I had the thought. Why would I have that thought? Because he was what I was thinking, but that doesn't make any difference. Now, I don't know if it's a great victory because I resisted the urge to stop at the stop sign, stop at the thing. But my mind was a little cluttered there, I guess. I don't know what the deal was, you know? But it wasn't something that I just was going to shake off. I was going to take care of. You ever go into a place where there's a lot of cobwebs? Do you love them? You know, do you kind of wear them proudly? You don't, do you? No, most people will get those things off. You know, I mean, it's like clutters, cobwebs. Now, I all of the Bible reading is good. All of the notes are good. All of that stuff is good. It's just great. But some people think that all of the notes and all of the conferences and all of the stuff somehow adds up to something. If it doesn't turn into a life that reflects Christ, it's clutter. And so it's the things that reveal the transformation by the renewing of our mind that are actually the useful things and the most obvious things. And so we need to consider that. I looked at my car as I got ready to go on Friday, and I looked at my car as I got ready to leave the Abbey on Saturday, and I looked at my car and I said to myself, I've got to clean this car out. I have neglected it. I got to get this thing cleaned out. We need to sometimes look at ourselves and organize the clutter. We've got to recognize it. You know, I mean, honestly, I look at that and I think, my goodness, I laugh at people when I walk by their cars in Walmart that are got stuff like that in them. I don't want people laughing at my car, you know. It's just stuff, just an accumulation of stuff, one more Menard sack and one more gas receipt that got out of the book and it's laying around and one more trash bag full of my trash that I need to dump. And, you know, it wouldn't take a lot to take care of it. And most of the things that clutter our Christian lives wouldn't take a lot to take care of if we want to take care of them. If it's a desire of our hearts. Now, there's a danger for us as Christians sometimes, you know. Sometimes as Christians, we don't want to face the fact that there's clutter. We don't want to recognize. See, I would just as soon not tell you about that guy passing me. And me even having to think if that thought came. But you see, thoughts come. They do come. Even if they shouldn't, they do. And I'd rather left that out. But I can't leave that out because I felt like God wanted me to not leave that out. So that sort of seals the fact of getting rid of that clutter. You know, it's kind of like God saying, you know, you wondered and you wondered and you wondered. Just tell somebody about it. Now let's get that thing fixed. There's always things. There's always things that are going to come up. But greater is He that's in you. Greater is He that's in me than all those things that are in there. They're greater. And wow, what a comfort it is to know that that clutter troubles us. That relieves my mind and assures me that I'm not going to become a hoarder. You know, there's a difference between clutter and a big difference. Sometimes my office is borderline. Most of it she moves in there because I leave it on the table. But we get that fixed. It's all fixable. It's all fixable. But we have to be cautious as Christians that somehow or another we don't allow clutter to become our trophy. Because you can have all the clutter in the world and have it not show up in your life. See, nobody cares. Nobody cares if you've been to church 99 times out of 100 for 99 years. Nobody cares. They'll notice your clutter in your life. And that's the thing that they'll judge you by. Now, that's their problem, but it's also our problem. It's being conscious of our need for Him, conscious enough of it, that we do everything as heartily unto the Lord. He said, you can do nothing without me. Absolutely nothing. Now that seems a little extreme. But what things are you comfortable doing without Him? Because anything that you're comfortable doing without Him, you don't want Him around. I want Him around. That's why I asked Him, did I say it or just think it? Because He knows both. It's not a huge deal to some. It doesn't even matter to some. Does to me. That would be my problem, not your problem. But you understand that as a Christian, if somebody walks into my garage, they will see clutter. And if they look around, they will see the stuff that's still in the box. Now they might think, wow, you take good care of your tools. They're still in the box. They might. Hey, I'm looking good with that clutter. You know, somebody might come into your house and they might come into our house and see the pictures on the wall that have scripture verses and parents praying for their kids and stuff like that. They might see that and say, whoa, you got it together. Well, we don't want to ruin that when they get into the kitchen with our conversation. We don't want to be transformed from praying to our kids to gossiping about people. Right? Just little things, but important things, because the more attention we pay to those things, then the more we represent Christ, the more that we are open to those things that Christ does for us. You see, we become We become such lovers of God. And as we become such lovers of God, we become people who are so much more aware of how much He loves us. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. The Creator of the universe. And we become more singly focused on that. And that's where we place our trust. Not in our Christian clutter. Do you understand what I'm saying about the Christian clutter? See, our trust cannot be in our church attendance. We attend church to worship God. Our trust can't be in how many times we've read the Bible. Our trust can't be in how many teachers we've listened to. Our trust just remains in Him. And the transforming things, as I was thinking about this, I thought about when us guys, when we went up to North Dakota for Rodney Howard Brown. And I remember as we were going up, I was saying, now, I am going up there to get everything that I can. If I'm going to make this trip, I'm going to get everything I can. I'm not going there to find out if he's for real. I'm going to make sure that what he has, I get for real, you know. That was a transforming, that really was a transforming thing for me, because it sort of made it more okay for me to be and to go ahead and experience what God had already been doing in my life. It set me free to partake of the Holy Ghost bartender. It set me free, and it affirmed that, hey, that joy of the Lord is our strength. It was a time, and so that is something that has gone on for all of the years, and it's just so much better. And when you recognize something, it makes it more recognizable. It's like walking into a place, getting ready to worship, and just feeling that weighty presence of God. Last Wednesday night was more of a weighty presence, I kept thinking, now the week before we were flying, but that's not what it was Wednesday. It was more of just his presence is so good. If I'm going to be cluttered, I want to be cluttered with the presence of God. I want His word hid in my heart so that I won't sin against Him, but I don't want it so hid in my heart that I keep it out of sight. You know what I mean? To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's what's important. To let it be a freshness. And all of the other stuff, that's good. I mean, it's good. It's in our repertoire. But like my office has books and tapes and CDs. It's got all, I mean, it's just packed full. I don't have room to put more stuff in there. And I'm not going to probably read this stuff again. I'm probably not. Got a lot of cassettes, too. I could come over here and listen. I got a cassette player here. I keep being reminded there's a cassette player here. I can digitize it. You know, but you know, but it's there. But I wouldn't take somebody into my office and say, well, of course I'm a Christian. Look at all this stuff. Because if they grab them, I said, what's this about? Jeez, I don't remember. You know? Hey, we were doing worship yesterday, and I found myself trying to remember something about last week's message. There's something I'd like to say. I just don't remember what it was. So I don't blame you if you don't remember what we preached. You know, But if you pick something up from God, don't let it go. You know? Don't let it go. We're not going to remember everything. And we can't put our confidence in the clutter. We put our confidence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, my clutter, I've told you, you've all done it. If you've got any clutter, you've got things that you know that you've got, but you just gave up on looking for them and went and bought another one. Even if you kept thinking about it, just didn't have time to continue to do that. But the things of God, we don't want to just forget about. We don't want to just let them go. But, praise God, we know that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that His mercies never come to an end, that they're new every morning, great is your faithfulness. And all of those things that we have stored up as treasures inside of us are there, and the Holy Spirit can bring it up, and we can be confident in that, but we just don't put our confidence in the clutter, we put our confidence in the focus, Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Let that be where you look. This is the same song, 977th verse or whatever. We know these things. We know these things. But Peter said, I'm just going to keep telling you. Why? Because Peter knew what it was to forget. It would be great if we never would, but we'll have moments. But thanks be to God, He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Keep your eyes on Him. Father, in Jesus' name, we want what Micah said, because you told us what's good, and that is that what you want us to do is you want us to do what's right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. How simple that is. Father, forgive us when we don't want to do what's right. We'll always love mercy because we need it so badly. But if we do what's right and know your mercy, we will walk humbly with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I have to share this. I was reminded of this. There was one lady that came up to me and she had a question about doing what's right. And I mean, that's what it boiled down to. And she asked me what she should do. I said, oh, no. You're not going to get me to tell you what to do. Well, you pray about it. I said, I'll pray about it. I'll pray that you'll pray about it. A little while later, she came up to me. She said, I asked God, and He said, no. I thought probably that's what you'd find out. But immediately after she walked away, I thought, man, I'm not going to get trapped into telling somebody. Because you know what? If you want somebody else to tell you what to do, there's a pretty good possibility that you already know what you should do. And they're hoping that maybe you'll give them an answer different. The Holy Spirit is always, always, always there for us. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed day.
You also.
I will. Thank you.